PAs, allies, and anybody that wants to learn more about the LGBT plus community. My name is Zanardi, and I'm so glad all your beautiful faces are here. Hello, everybody. How are you doing today? Woo! Our guest today is the amazing Mark Sebastian. Mark is a model, a fashion designer, and TikToker, best known for his series History But Make It Queer. And Mark and I's discussion today is a little bit interesting. It revolves around the platforms that we've built and what duties and responsibilities people's platforms have. We talk about and explain the coming out box. And if you don't know what a coming out box is, then stay tuned, you will. We talk about the politics of TikTok and share our experiences with suppression, as well as what happened at the TikTok Virtual Pride. Because yes, white supremacists did crash and ruin Virtual Pride that was going on over on TikTok. We also touch on Mark's professional career in fashion and his work with pop star Troye Sivan. Overall, had a great friendly conversation with Mark that I think you all will enjoy. But before that, I want to thank you all for listening and remind you that this podcast is brought to you by Manscaped. Manscaped is the best and only men's grooming brand dedicated to below-the-waist grooming. That's right, an entire company dedicated to keeping your no-no square in pristine shape. Their third-generation ball trimmer called the Lawnmower 3.0 offers a perfect and painless shave on and around the nuts area. Guys, I used to be scared to shave my groin area. I would always cut myself and I would get anxiety and I would start sweating and bleeding and but that doesn't happen anymore, all right? That doesn't happen anymore. Shaving is almost fun now. It's something I look forward to doing thanks to Manscaped. So if you're a dude and you have balls, you seriously need to consider ordering from Manscaped. They've made my life easier. They made my balls nicer, nice and smooth and fresh and smelling good too because they have ball deodorant. So head on over to manscaped.com. Use code GAYFAM20 for 20% off and free shipping. That's code GAYFAM20 for 20% off. Look, the point is, do you take care of yourself? Do you go to the gym? Do you put moisturizer on your face? Well, then you should be taking care of your family jewels as well. So treat yourself and your balls right and head on over to manscaped.com. Use code GAYFAM20. All right, enough about my balls. Let's get to the conversation with Mark. Mark, we're live.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you? I'm in air conditioning. It's really hot in New York. My puppy was just taken away from me to go to the Hamptons for 10 days. So I'm a daughterless father right now.
Your puppy gets to go to the Hamptons for 10 days and it leaves you there?
Wow. I know. It's really upsetting. Because it's my roommate has a house in the Hamptons and we share the puppy. And so she is in her house in the Hamptons right now. And so is the puppy. So the puppy's probably like, I don't know, lounging by the pool with like a martini or something.
Jealous.
Or like chasing deer.
So let's talk about the coming out box, because I know that is a huge thing that everybody's wondering about. That's probably why half the people that are joining now are probably here. They want to know about it. So what inspired you to start your coming out box sharing that video?
Okay, so I first thought of the idea when people on TikTok TikTokers with vaginas were saying that they had to cut off their penis every month. Uh-huh. I'm allowed to curse on here, right?
Yeah, we're R-rated. Okay. Go for it. We can.
So they had to cut off their penis every month, and I was like, and they convinced this whole entire app that was like a thing, and I was like, oh my god, this is the most genius thing in the entire world. Mainly because, like, if I'm honest, and like, I don't know if like a lot of TikTokers are watching, but like, if I'm going to rate apps on, like, smartest people, like, on who's the smartest people on each app, you know what I mean? Like, what app has the smartest people?
Yeah.
I'm really going to rate TikTok at a low grade there. I'm sorry to say, but I'm not rating, Instagram that much higher. But I am saying that, like, people on TikTok are easily gullible. And so I was like, okay, cool. Like, what can I do that's, like, sort of a queer version that we can do for Pride Month? I have this idea that... And I convinced several straight people before in my life that, like, every time someone comes out that, like, they get a coming out box. And whenever they would be like, oh, have you seen this movie? Or like, oh, where did you get this thing? And I was like, oh, well, it was in my coming out box. And they're like, what? And I'm like, yeah, my coming out box. And they're like, what are you talking about? And I'd be like, the box you get when you come out. And they're like, that's not a thing. And I was like, of course that's a thing. What are you talking about? Like, how could you not, like, that's really upsetting that you, as like an ally, like you're friends with me, you don't even know about the coming out box. And I would just continually make straight people feel bad because that's like what I like to do. And then I saw this photo on TikTok by this girl, Rose, who is a editor at Netflix. She's really cool. She's so, so smart. And she had posted this thing because it was a PR box that she had gotten for someone had sent her a PR package. And it was just like this big rainbow box. And I was like, that's it. I'm doing it. And then I tested the waters with like a couple people, and I like made the video, and then I wrote that whole copy for it. So like, by everyone now knows, like, I'm gonna tell you that it's like it's not a thing. You know what I mean? Like it's obviously fake. But I wrote this whole copy for it, and I was like, okay, I really want to fool straight TikTok because I think we can, and I think that straight TikTok is a horrible place because I've been stuck on straight TikTok for like 2 weeks now. Don't ask how, I don't know how. But it's like filled with like fishing and frogs and like onion sorting, and I just saw like a man drill through a hockey puck, and I don't understand what's going on over there or like what's wrong with them, where they're like, I just the hockey puck really threw me. Anyway,
Wait, what's this hockey puck?
I posted a video. I was just like scrolling on TikTok one night, and this guy was like drilling through a hockey puck. Someone had asked him a question about like, oh, something about like cars, and he was like, and then there was a video of him drilling through a hockey puck and then like going over to a car being like, yeah, this is perfect. And I was like, perfect for what, girl? Like, what do you mean? Like, where's that hockey puck going? Are you not using it to play? First off, also had to say very straight off the bat, didn't know the hockey pucks were made out of plastic. For some reason, I thought that they were made out of stone, just because I thought that that would slide on ice better. But they're actually not even made of plastic. They're made of rubber. Did you know that one?
I think I did. Not, I don't want to brag, but I think I knew.
So yeah, that was new.
No.
But I knew that straight TikTok was is very gullible. Sorry to say for all you breeders out there, but you were easily fooled, and I wanted to play a trick on you. One that has definitely worked, just maybe not on the right side of TikTok yet.
And so you, what you did was you posted to your private, like to your friends, and so all your mutuals saw it, and we liked the video idea. You kind of just explained what you want to do, and then we got in contact, through DMs and stuff, and kind of planned it out. And you posted your video, and it started doing well. And did what were the comments like when you first saw they were coming in? Were people very confused at first?
Yes, I mean, what I mean, yes, but the thing is that I went live right before I posted, and I was like, hey guys, listen, this is my plan, this is what I'm going to do. I need you guys to just agree with everything that I say and about this thing, and when you go on there, talk about your experience with this thing. So off the bat, I had like 80 comments from people who were in my live being like, oh my God, I'm so excited, like I got my coming out box 2 years ago, I got this, I got this. And it was obviously, I had already sent around the copy of like, hey guys, like to I would say probably like 50 of the biggest like gay influencers on TikTok, and I was like, this is what I want to do. This is the plan. And some of them did it, some of them haven't, some of them still are going to. So it was very calculated, very coordinated. And when I first started to get the comments of people being like, I didn't get the box, I didn't get the box, and I was like, okay, I thought that since I made it very clear that I wanted to educate straight TikTok, that it would sort of be like, oh, like that's what we're doing, but unfortunately, there's a lot of young kids on TikTok, and who get very anxious if they're not in on the joke. And I understand that 100%. But also, while like I would feel bad for things like that, my intentions for the coming out box, I had a couple were like to fool straight TikTok, but also like to get straight TikTok to think that eventually I wanted it to turn into a thing where straight TikTok thought that they had to buy their gay friends coming out boxes when they came out. So that was like my whole plan, was I was like, let's get straight people to buy gay people things when they come out of the closet. But unfortunately, queer TikTok did not let it move over to straight TikTok yet, but it's going.
It's still going. We still have momentum
Yeah.
with this,
I mean,
for
it's only been
sure.
like 3 days and we have like 700,000 views on that hashtag, which is incredible. But yeah, all the comments were like, oh, I never got a box. Where's my box? You guys got this? And my favorite comments were always like, you guys got boxes? I got beat up. Like, you guys got boxes? I got kicked out. And I was like, what? Or like, someone's like, you got beat up? I got told it was a phase. And I was like, T, I feel that.
Yeah, that's when it started to worry me, because like I was seeing people being like, oh, like I'm so anxious, I cried myself to sleep because I didn't get a box, and I felt so bad for that, obviously. And I didn't know that, like, I posted my video shortly after yours, but I didn't know that like mine was gonna also like be one of the top ones,
Yeah,
like
'cause this did
I
really
take
well
the
too.
charge on it. What's up?
Yours did really well too.
Yeah, and so like I was like, oh no, like I'm like a face of this thing now too, and I wasn't really prepared for that. But I finally got my live streaming privileges back on TikTok yesterday, so I have been going live and kind of spilling the tea on what this whole thing is.
Totally. And I mean, like, for like the people who are like very confused and things like that, I understand that, but what I want this is to be is like, is also to be like, if you really felt like this was a thing that you were confused about and you were anxious about, I think that this also should teach you, which I apologize for, it, like, I don't ever want to make anyone feel anxious. Like the fact that I may have made people feel anxious, totally apologize for. However, I want this to be like a learning experience where, like, you know, not to just believe everything on TikTok. Like, we're not conservatives. We don't just believe any video that we see. We obviously do research. And if you're doing research by looking, like Googling coming out box and nothing's coming and like nothing's coming up, then obviously it's not real. Like, right. And you should in your first head be like, okay, when I hear things like this, maybe I shouldn't just buy it off the bat. And I know that, like, I sold it on my thing by being like, look at this picture. Of course everyone knows about coming out boxes, but, like, that's how easy it is to fall for something on TikTok if someone is just that good of an actor and that, like, well-spoken and confident in what they're saying. And it's not like I filmed that in one take. That was a bunch of takes of me going, okay, does that sound good enough? Like, showing it to my straight roommate being like, hey, do you think this, like, this will fool people? But also it's like, guys, it's a learning lesson. You guys should not just believe every single thing. And that's also why I wanted it to get on straight TikTok, was because I was like, I wanted all these people to see, like, you're going to buy this. Like, then that means you would buy anything on TikTok. And we can't have that. We need to be able to have, like, sources. We need to be able to have research. We need to be able to, you know, stand on our morals and values after concluding from our own research, whether or not it's correct or not. But
yeah.
Sorry.
No, definitely. if we can just kind of take it as a learning lesson and be able to come at, approach at that angle of being a learning lesson, then that's for sure going to be beneficial. There are some that were like, so, because I watched all the hashtags too. There were some that were like absolutely ridiculous, where it's like, how did people not get it? There was this, did you see the one guy? I forget his name, but he was like, I got sent 3 men to prepare my hole for Columbia or like whatever. He's like moving.
Yeah. I mean, I also saw there was someone, I feel like their name is Madison. Madison got like a tattoo gun in their box. I also saw that Gay, I forget what his name is.
Spencer.
But he got, what?
Spencer,
he got a cat. And I was like, okay. Like, but I want things like that. And I want those videos to be the top ones because I want people to be like, okay. Like, who do you think is sending a cat in the mail? Who do you think? Someone was like, oh, I got a snake too. And I was like, girl, wait, you think that there's a magic gay fairy like coming and delivering kittens and snakes? Because if there was, like, I feel like we would all know about that. You know what I mean?
Right. It's gay, but Santa for sure.
Yeah, gay Santa.
I posted a comment. I was like, we don't know for sure, but I think Elton John is supposedly funding the boxes.
It's Elton John or it's Cher. It's Elton John or it's Cher. But I mean, like, that was a whole other part of it. It was like, okay, who do we get? If I'm skirting around the issue of being like, okay, who's sending the box? Like, it's gay Santa Claus. You know what I mean? It's like, we want to believe this. And of course, a lot of young kids, I'm sure if you posted about Santa Claus not being real, there are people on TikTok who still think that Santa Claus is real. You know what I mean? Like, they're that young. But I've gotten a lot of people in my DMs who are like very young and anxious. And I'm like, don't worry, it's a joke. Also, whenever I see someone on who like makes a video, you'll see in the comments, normally I will comment like an acronym or like a hidden message which says I think someone already just opened keep exploring or keep explaining or something, which literally means it's a joke in the first letter of each word. So like they're not just fully saying it, but
right.
You know what? I'm happy that people caught on. I think that eventually it will catch on a lot bigger. And I know it's already going to straight TikTok because I'm getting burning pride flag emojis. And I'm just like, okay, cool. So we're
the burning pride flag emojis. Dude, I get those on every single video. And I usually just troll them. But like, I'll make a video response and just like show gay people kissing or something on the green screen. But
it's just so weird that like, and I mean, like, this is also, like, going into, like, TikTok, though, as well. But it's, like, so that is a very clear violation of, like, community guidelines. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's hate speech. And if one of those comments gets reported, right, and someone or, like, an algorithm is going through it and is seeing, like, okay, this is clearly a rainbow flag being burned, like, in emojis. In my head, TikTok should see that. And whenever someone posts, like, that thing, it should just not be able to be shown. Like, they can do that in live chat. Why can't you guys do that in the comment section? Like, if you guys can do that with the FAG word, why can't you guys do that with like that in the username. But then that becomes a
right.
TikTok is a weird.
Yeah, because they block comments. Comments are weird. I would say like 30-40% of the time, my comments never post for some reason. Like on my own videos too. Like I'll try to make an announcement or I'll be like, hey, message me on Instagram if you like want to do it because I can't respond on TikTok. But like it blocks out certain words, like even like Instagram or chat or something like that. It's weird because my comments never post. So yeah, if they can block like normal shit, they can definitely block the pride flag burning emoji and other things. But
TikTok has a serious problem here because there's two separate things and like that's why it's very difficult to sort of talk about these problems because it's like a legality issue and it's also a morality issue. So like legally anyone should be able to say anything that they want because freedom of speech, you know what I mean? So people should be able to put like fags burn in hell, like 69 as their username, but then we should also be able to use that word as well. Like you can't just censor some people and let others say those things. But then it's like a morality thing where it's like, I don't want to see that username and I don't think anyone else wants to see that name, but it's like, do I want to tell TikTok to start censoring that? Because how much more censorship can we take? If I tell them to stop censoring that, then how far is the censorship going to go and where does it end? It's weird to know what side we should fight on. Like, should we fight on for everyone? Should we fight for people to be able to like say hate speech to us so that we can do it back? Or do we fight for it to be a safer place for everyone? And it's still something that I'm sort of struggling with because I don't know. All I want to do is be able to make content that I'm not scared. I want to not live in fear when I'm posting on TikTok on whether or not something's going to get shadow banned, something's going to get, suppressed because I'm using the wrong words or the wrong hashtags. It's like, it's just so unpredictable. And I am not a sort of unpredictable person. I like to know what's going on.
Right. How many videos do you get deleted, you'd say, on a weekly basis?
Okay. So the weirdest thing is I have never, ever had a video deleted until I had... So for 300,000 followers, I celebrated by having 12 incredible Black creators take over my TikTok, which was so fun, and they were so easy to work with. Like, it was just, like, the coolest thing, because I would just give over my password. They would make all their own content, and I would write the scripts for their, like, History of Make It Queer, which was my series. But I also did it, and I let all of them know. But, like, I also did it because I was like, hey, guys, I want to make sure that this is, I'm not making this stuff up with TikTok. And that, like, if these videos start to get suppressed, like, they're using some facial recognition technology, something's going on there. And then the first day that a Black creator took over my TikTok, Bobby, he got a video taken down. And I was like, what? Are you kidding? I've never had a video taken down. And then he repealed it and it went back up. And he was like, that's never, like, if I repeal my video, either it gets completely taken down or it takes days for it to go back up. And I was like, that's weird. And then the next day, the day after, someone put up another video and it got taken down. And I was like, and then all of the videos thus far after that went under review. And I was just like,
oh my God,
that's weird, TikTok. That's really strange. But I was like, guys, every single time that happens to you, I need you to screenshot it and send it to me so I know exactly what's going on. And I have evidence to go forth to TikTok and be like, hey guys, like I caught you in this and there's nothing really that you can say to change what is happening. But then recently I had my first video taken down, which was I rated the names that my high school bullies called me, which was like varying forms of like the word fag and like just a bunch of different ways. Uh-huh. And I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was like one of the funniest videos I've ever made. TikTok did not feel the same way. And they took it down, but I don't know if it's because I said the word or if it's because I put in text in the word. I don't know what their algorithm or what their thing is. I know for lives, because I got my live banned and I got it back up by contacting, because I have a model agent who also is in contact with TikTok. I'm very privileged to have that. Like, I'm very lucky, which is why I always try to help people who have live bans and things like that, like give the correct emails. But usually it comes back if you repeal it, which a lot of people don't know. But usually if you repeal and you keep emailing, it will always usually come back unless you did something really bad.
Yeah, I emailed twice a day for a week and a half and then it finally got back.
But it's just like it's a weird thing. But I know for live streams, when I got mine banned for the first time, it was because I said there was a video of this guy who was painting a floor and this floor was hideous. It was the ugliest floor I've ever seen in my life. And I was like, I held up to the screen and I was like, this is the ugliest floor in I've ever seen. I would rather kill myself than live in this house. And then like literally 20 minutes later, my live says got banned, 7 counts of dangerous activity. And I was like, girl, what? Like, dangerous activity, what? I was literally talking about like Burt's Bees chapstick and like interior design. What are you talking about? And then it took a while and I emailed and then they came back to me and they were like, hey, so you said this in your live, which triggered this and banned your profile. And they deleted my entire TikTok for it. Like they deleted everything.
Your account?
My entire account got deleted. So I know that they are literally listening to everything that you say and they're typing it all out. They are dictating it into a system that then those words are going through an algorithm and a security check. And then if it has any of those words that you said, it'll trigger it. It'll give you a warning or sometimes 7. Mm-hmm. And then it'll either take you down or tell you like you're temporarily banned, things like that. I got banned for 5 minutes once. And I was like, what? Like, what is going on?
So I obviously did get banned for live streaming for a week and a half. They said it's serious pornography. And the only thing that I can think of, because I was wearing clothes, obviously, sitting on a swing, just talking. The only thing I can think of is because I said that I put a banana down my throat.
Team.
Maybe. Right. But still, that's not serious pornography. And then I got a warning when I was live streaming. I was at the LA protest a few weeks ago. And I was live streaming for like 3 hours. Everything was great.
Content?
Yeah. Then I get a warning. It's like, fix your content now or else you'll be banned from live. And so I didn't take any chances and I ended the TikTok live stream and went over to Instagram. But I was like, how is this wrong? How is showing a protest? How is like bringing all these people like along with me to just show them the truth of what's going on here? Like, how is this wrong? And I don't know. It's ridiculous. Were you at the virtual pride yesterday?
So yes, I was at the virtual pride. Just going back quickly to when you get the warnings, one time when very early on in my TikTok, because I got TikTok really starting in quarantine, I'm sure we'll cover that later on, but I got TikTok at the very start of quarantine. So some of my first videos were me like making masks for healthcare workers because I know how to sew and I would just like sit on live and talk to people and make masks. And it was super fun. And this was back when I had like less than 100,000 followers and I was able to really be able to talk to everyone in my live, like it wasn't overwhelming or anything. And I remember one night I was talking about healthcare and how I believe that like healthcare, there should be healthcare for all and giving my reasoning behind it. And as I'm talking about it, it says, it gives me a warning of controversial content, change the subject now. And I was like,
oh my God,
girl, what? What do you mean? Like, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that healthcare. And it's like, did someone report me or are you guys, is like healthcare for all in your like trigger words? So mm-hmm. weird. But yes, I was at Virtual Pride.
And okay, great. So you saw what happened then. You were there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I saw everything.
What went down?
So basically let's start from the top, which is mm-hmm. like about a week ago or a week and a half ago, a bunch of big LGBTQIA plus creators got a notification saying, hey, we want to like keep in touch with the LGBTQ plus community. Will you sign out? Like, will you register here?
I got that. I did that. Yeah.
Yeah. So you got that. So first off, no, like you can't send a gay registry around and with no context whatsoever. Like you don't just be like, oh, okay, here you go. Like, this is what this is. Like, why don't you sign your name here? It's like, how do I know where that's going? Like, how do I know that like, this isn't going to be used against me? How do I know that you guys aren't targeting us to see who you're going to shadow ban more? You can't just ask people to register because they're gay. That's not like a thing. If you want them to register, contact them individually. I don't care if you have to have someone reach out to 500 of the top queer creators, reach out to them individually instead of making them sign a registry.
Right. Cause it was like a system notification thing. It was one of those things that you see at the top. Yeah.
It was a system notification thing. So I was like, okay, well, the word, like, what are they going to do? Dox me? Like, or like out, like I'm already, it's fine. Like I feel comfortable enough doing this stuff with TikTok because like, I don't think that nothing's going to happen to me that I can't fix. You know what I mean? Like I'm a grown adult. Like I have management that would be able to work this out. Like it would be fine. So I was like, okay, I'll take one for the team and I'll sign this up and see what goes on. And then when I signed up, then I got like the email about, hey, we're going to invite you to Virtual Pride. And that's what I told pretty much like other people. Hey, this is, I think, what's going on. Mm-hmm. And then we got an email saying, hey, we want you to come to Virtual Pride with a whole nother registry. And then they asked us for like our sweatshirt size. And they gave us a survey asking us about, and you posted a video about it, basically just being like, is it welcoming? Is it not welcoming? Like, how do you feel on this? And mine was like literally ones across the board, except for the one question they were like, do you think TikTok has a diverse user base? And I was like, five, yes, it has an incredibly diverse user base. It's just that you have to search for it because like, you have to actively start liking Black creators. You have to actively start liking disabled creators. Any other person that does not fit the cisgender heteronormative patriarchy that we live in, you have to like, or else they're not going to show on your For You page.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I got that too. And I want to say that I filled it out and rated them one star. And then at the end, you know, there's this place where, like, do you have additional feedback where you can like type whatever you want? And I explained to them how LGBT people, people of color are feeling scrutinized. I didn't name any specific names, obviously, but I was like, you know, please like fix this. Please reach out. I want it. Like, you have my email. Please talk because we would love to work together. The funny thing is, so I submitted my, or I accepted my invitation, I guess, and they never got back to me. Like, they never sent me an actual invite with the password, with the link to the Pride.
I wonder why that is. Because you made a video, because you spoke out. 100%. That's 100%
at
TikTok.
And I was at least semi-nice about it. Yeah. Oh, my God. So you filled it out, too.
So I filled it out. So then we got an invite to this Zoom chat, which I was like, okay, girl, like, we're going to go in a Zoom chat. Like, that's, like, the least you guys could do. Fine, whatever. And then we got these, like, it was, like, this whole detailed list of, like, different panels that were going to happen, like, a confidence panel and, like, an intersectionality panel. And I was just like, oh, I don't need any of these panels. Just put me in front of TikTok people so I can literally hand their ass to them on a silver platter and say, hi, you're censoring queer people. Here's a list of reasons why you can't do this. And here's a list of demands of what we want. And so then it came, and a bunch of people had like taken off work for it. A bunch of people were like super excited. I was super excited for it. I was really looking forward to it because I was like, finally, we're going to get heard. Like, and I had a whole bunch of people who were like, if I get called on, I will pass my question to you. And I was like, gorgeous. Like, so I know that I'm going to speak. I have everything planned out. And so we get in there. It's like at 2 p.m. We are all just starting to get into Zoom. There's a bunch of people. There's like, you know, TikTokers in full makeup who look gorge and like glammed up. And then there's like all of the TikTok trailblazers, which is like, okay, girl, I don't know who they're trailblazing, but go off. And it was just like a bunch of people. And then in the chat, I started to see that there were some weird things going on and audio. And like, you could hear through the sound people being like, ew, what's that? Like, why is that? Like, why is that girl? Or is that a girl? Or is that a boy? Like, just really fucked up things. And I was like, okay, that's weird. And then they were like, okay, cool, we're going to start. And then as soon as they said, okay, we're going to start, it just like ramped up to 150, and they were spamming the N word, the F word. They were spamming everything. They were calling out people. They were, like saying it on, like, because we were all supposed to be muted, which is like, oh, TikTok muting queer creators. How on the nose is that? But we were all supposed to be muted, but apparently these people weren't muted. And what had happened was, this guy, the real Heisenberg or whatever, he had gotten invited to this event. I don't know how the hell someone invited this guy.
He's pansexual. Like, I actually duetted him a few weeks ago because he's pansexual and made a video about how he doesn't believe in pride. So very on brand for him to come to this and ruin it. Yeah. But yeah.
Gay conservatives, like dinosaurs for comets. And so they had obviously had leaked the link, so like a bunch of people were in there and like spamming it. And then they had like the two general managers go on, Kudzi and some other girl. I think her name was Lauren, and Lauren, or the blonde girl, was like, yeah, I'm a lesbian, like I'm the general manager. And then like I was like, okay, cool, like go off, Lauren, like you're a lesbian, we're gonna fucking talk about this stuff, you're gonna understand what I'm gonna say. And Kudzi, who follows me on TikTok and has like messaged me before, I was like, cool, like, so we'll get to talk. He was in there, and then they just started drawing on their faces, and they started drawing like the N-word. They started drawing like killed gays, like things like that. And then they shared this, their own screen, and then the like girl, the Sophie Sanders girl, was just sitting there like, I don't know how people are sharing the screen. I don't know what's going on. And like people were like playing these loud videos of like really racist remarks. And she was like, I don't know what's going on. And then it just stopped. And then the Zoom ended. And I was like, okay, so I'm just staring at a blank screen. I'm like, what? And then I called my friend Mackenzie, who, she's really cool. She does a bunch of sex education stuff. I just duetted her. You should go check her out. She's amazing. But we were just talking, and I was like, I wonder what's going to happen now. And then I got word that they were trying to make a new one. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, that's dope. And then they just canceled it completely. And I was like, so wait, you're going to do exactly the same thing, where you're going to let the people who bully us win, and you're going to silence us by having a voice. Like, that's exactly what you're doing, TikTok. Like, that's what we wanted to complain about. But in half of me, I think, knows that they couldn't show their faces again on, like, that day, because had they come back on, I mean, listen, queer people are so intelligent, are so, I mean, we have to be. We like survive in a world where we have to be smart and outsmart the world in order to survive, a lot of us. I mean, apparently coming out boxes are kryptonite, but other than that, we're very, very, very intelligent. And I think they knew that if they came back on camera and they let us speak, they would have been, I mean, they wouldn't have been able to say anything to us, because we would have all been like, this is what's going on. Like, we would have, and that was the perfect thing to have happened for us to be like.
Yeah, it was a perfect example of what we experience on a daily basis on their app.
Yeah.
And
it's just, it was ridiculous. And the fact that they canceled it fully, is so crazy, because it's like, you would think that TikTok's like this massive billion-dollar company would be able to figure out Zoom security by giving right. us all unique passwords, by having a waiting room, by like, if this event was being held, say in New York, and it was like at some Sheraton hotel room or like a, you know, amphitheater hall or whatever, you would obviously check invites at the door. So that way that people don't get in, that you don't want people to get into, like that you don't want, yeah. that you don't want in there. And they didn't do that. And then it got ruined. And then because that happened, they canceled the whole thing. They sent us an email being like, hey, basically their email was like, sup gays, LOL, that was weird, right? Okay, so now, like, we're going to cancel this because I just don't think that it's good enough. Like, I don't think that this is worth, like, basically figuring out right now. This doesn't reflect badly on us, though, okay? Like, love you, XOXO TikTok, a billion-dollar company owned by China. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It was just such a like, dumb email. And so when I got that, I, like, went off. And I emailed every person I know at TikTok, and I was like, you guys are kidding me. Like, if you guys cancel this whole thing without rescheduling it, you are going to get eaten alive. Like, you need to reschedule this, because I swear to you, you will have queer, like, big queer creators walk. Because even, like, I mean, even people who were in that, like, in that live and were, like, trailblazers or whatever, they were, sort of speaking out against it. But I think everyone lives in fear of TikTok, because we're all like, if we speak out about TikTok, are we going to get shadow banned? Are we not going to get shadow banned? Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, a lot of us on TikTok, like, started our social medias on TikTok. So we don't necessarily have other platforms where it's as big or where we built, you know,
yeah.
it's like a lot of us have, our biggest platform is TikTok. So it's scary to want to speak out or in fear of losing that platform. I know only JS made a tweet about what happened there. The lesbian psychology girl.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about her, but like, I'm happy that she made a tweet. I feel like she has some like questionable choices that she's made and said, but I mean, like, I'm just, I don't know. I haven't come to terms. Like, I have to like know someone, and I need to like, I don't just appreciate people. The thing is that TikTok is so rainbow washed. Like, I'm sorry, but like these trailblazers, I'm really happy for them. And I'm happy that there are queer people being shown, but like, don't you dare tell me that they're not like tokenized, like stereotypical, like idealized versions of queer people, where their profiles are filled with rainbows and they're like, look, I'm a lesbian, or look, I'm pansexual, or look like this. I don't want to see that shit. You know what I want to see? I want to see queer people doing their careers, being queer, being in power at higher points, like at higher places in their industry. That's what I want to see. I don't want to see someone who's like, this is a tip on coming out. It's like, if you want tips on coming out, go to other places, read, do research, talk to queer people on TikTok. It's just, I don't know. It really irked me that they had all these like sort of rainbow washed people. But that's their choice, and I can't stop it.
Yeah. Not to name it anyone specific, but like a lot of them just kind of dance with their rainbow flag like around their shoulders, and like it's very like basic and generic. But instead of someone like you, who literally makes series on queer history, which is so important to us, like, we don't get that in school.
Yeah, like, we don't. It's just like I don't know. TikTok has like this idea that that's like what a queer person should be, and like they should be like dancing around with pride flags and things like that. It just doesn't make sense to me. I think that that sort of idea of queerness and of queer people like that faded away long ago. Like, we need to sort of revolutionize what you think of as a queer person and just sort of make it people who are in great places in their life. Obviously we all struggle, but I don't know. It's just like it's a weird thing that the whole Trailblazer thing, because I got nominated to be a Trailblazer by this other creator, mm-hmm. and I knew that I wasn't going to get it. Like, there was no way I remember what I was going to say. If you look on TikTok and you see the people who are verified, you will see that none of them have opinions. None of them stand for anything. None of them have values. None of them have morals. And I'm not saying that they need to. I'm not saying they need to use their platform, because the idea of using your platform and like this sort of like idea of like everyone's a celebrity, we all need to use our platform for good, we all need to do this, I don't buy into at all. But you will see everyone who's verified and a lot of the creators do not hold values or opinions or do not speak about their morals or values on their platform, because they know if they do, then they risk not getting involved with brands, they risk not getting involved with TikTok. Look through all of them, you'll see.
That's an interesting perspective to hold, that not everyone should use their platform to speak up. So I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that specifically, because I feel like everybody can change someone's life or change an opinion for the better. Like, if you support BLM and you like wholeheart, like if you agree that like that there's injustices in our system, and you have a following of five, but you just change one mind, like, isn't that worth something? Or
okay, so for me, I would rather have people who know what they're talking about using their platform for good than people who do not know what they're talking about using their platform because they think they need to. So like, gotcha. Take, for example, the guy that I called out yesterday, this guy, Zach Cox, who I'm sure is not a bad guy. You know what I mean? I'm sure that he's, mm-hmm. I mean, I've worked with him before, but he has 1.8 million followers and he's done videos on Black Lives Matter. Yes, they were very like Tony Lopez, where he was like, let's, you know, spread the positivity. Let's like not talk about racism. But that's what I'm saying. It's like, if he screws up, he now is screwing up to 1.8 million people who mm-hmm. now are going to think that that is what is supposed to be said, who are now, how do we know that the people are only just watching that video? You know what I mean? Like, how do we know that they're not doing research themselves? Because clearly he didn't do research himself.
Right.
So I'm not asking for everyone to use their platform. I'm asking that everyone researches enough to use their platform, because it's important that you have research and you have, and you're able to speak about things competently before you are putting it in front of a large audience. Because, and especially on TikTok, everyone's like 14 and like a little sponge just soaking up everything that they have. Mm-hmm. So that's why I felt it was important that I called out Zach, because I was like, hey, listen, like, here's a person who has 1.8 million followers and they fucked up and that's fine. But now you have to step down and deplatform yourself for a little bit, educate yourself, come back. I'm, again, not for cancel culture. I've never been for cancel culture. I am not asking for Zach Cox to get canceled. I'm asking for Zach Cox to be held accountable for his actions. So enough that he is like, cool, I made a mistake. That's dope. Had Zach Cox reached out to me and was like, hey, like, I'm really sorry. I shouldn't have done that on that shoot. I shouldn't have said this thing. I was in the wrong. I'm going to step back and, you know, think about what I did and also educate myself. I would have been like, dope, I'll take the video down. No problem.
Yeah, because
I would have been like, that's fine. I am not here to, we all need to provide a space for people to learn, or else they're going to be scared to say anything.
Yeah, totally agree. And for anyone listening that doesn't understand the situation, Zach Cox said, he basically said what, that he doesn't think it's wrong for people to use the N-word if they're singing it or it's in a song.
The thing that Zach Cox said is like, it's not even that bad, like what he said. I didn't get mad at Zach Cox because of that. Like, I got mad at Zach Cox because of what happened when I worked with him, and how he made a girl feel uncomfortable. And that's never okay with me, ever. And especially in modeling, where that happens so often. And I felt like I always had to be the martyr of, you know, having to speak up, which I'm sure we can talk about later on. But he said, I don't know about, like, I want to ask you guys, I know people get canceled for it. Why is it bad to say the N-word in songs if we're just singing along? Like, what's so offensive about that? And it's like, girl, Google is free. Learn about it. Because it is not POC responsibility to teach you about why their lives matter, why you shouldn't be racist, why, Like, it is just not, it's not their responsibility. Imagine being a Black American right now and surrounded by the race revolution that we're going through. And then on top of it, having all of your white friends reaching out to you being like, how are you doing? Like, you know, how's everything? Like, how are you doing? Like, I want to make sure you're okay. Also, like, you know, have I ever made you feel uncomfortable? Can you explain to me why this is what's going on? It's like, they're already going under a lot of stuff. Like, they're already going under a lot of emotionally taxing stress. Let's take one thing away from them by educating ourselves. And that's exactly what Zach Cox should have done, is educated himself. And that's why it was problematic. Not because the fact that people want to say the N-word is the weirdest thing in the entire world. They're like, why can't I say it? It's like, I don't know, girl, like, I don't know. Why can't you put your hand in a bee's nest? Like, because you just don't. You don't say it. Someone is saying, don't do this. And you're like, well, why can't I? It's like, you sound like a child. Like, I don't understand it. I've never understood the fascination with wanting to say that word so bad enough for you to even ask publicly, why? That's so upsetting that I can't say that word. Is it?
Yeah, that's... So it comes to exactly the thing that we talked about with the Pride Box. It comes down to just taking your personal responsibility and using Google or whatever tools you have to figure it out for yourself. Because it's not a Black person's job to educate you on every little matter. Like, no.
On any matter, as far as I'm concerned. The only time that it is maybe responsible for a POC to educate a white person on something is if that white person made that person of color feel uncomfortable, then I feel like it would be important for them to say, hey, this is what made me feel uncomfortable. I'm not going to educate on why it made me feel uncomfortable, but I want you to know the exact thing that you did that made me feel uncomfortable and how that made me feel. And now I want you to take that information, go learn something about it, and then come back to me and we can have a conversation. Because again, we need to provide a space for people to learn or people are not going to speak. And if we silence everyone because we're canceling everyone, that's not how it should be. We need to say, hey, you're being held accountable for this thing. I'm not canceling you. You're not a bad person. We know that. We don't think that you may be racist 100%, but that is something that can be fixed and can be understood better. You can make active changes in your life. You can learn to help people around you. You can learn to amplify the voices of marginalized groups of people around you. And then we can figure this all out. If Zach Cox could very easily come back and be like, listen, I learned about this. I'm stupid. I shouldn't have said that. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to now give my platform over to these Black creators to teach you guys to say things that they want a wider white audience to hear, which is, and everyone would be like, okay, cool. Team, that's dope. That's that's cool you're doing. And if people were like, oh, you know, you're just doing that to do this or to do that. It's like, give people a chance to learn and give people a chance to redeem themselves.
Yeah. As soon as we stop believing in growth and believing that people can change and learn for the better, then we lose the entire progressive movement, right? Like, there's how can we ever progress if we just start canceling someone for every little thing that they've done? And you get to a point where 10 years from now, the things that someone might have said is going to be outdated, and so they could get canceled for it. And it's did you see that Jenna Marbles quit YouTube?
Yeah.
That was so sad.
I know, super sad. So for me and what I've always believed in is 3 years is my limit, where I'm like, if you have said something within those 3 years, I'm like, okay, that's really fucked up, because that's sort of when people should have realized and sort of woken up. Because I think starting from right when Trump went into presidency, you kind of have no excuse to be politically, socially unaware now. From before that, I'm like, okay, you said that. That's really problematic, and it's weird that you said that, but I'm not going to hold that against you, because I'm hoping that in those 3 years you've learned enough. If you've shown me, and if you've shown a wider audience that you've learned enough, this may be a controversial opinion 100%, and it is not my platform to forgive anyone. It is not my place to forgive anyone. But when Emu Liu got canceled on TikTok, again, not my place at all to forgive her. But there had been stuff that was recent that I was like, okay, I understand that. But stuff that had happened, you know, a while ago, I'm like, I feel like she has done a good amount in to sort of combat that and to, you know, make it right, that I feel like we should hear her out. But again, not my place to forgive her, because I'm not a person of color. But that's what happens in cancel culture. Like,
I think age as well is a big factor in it. Something someone said when they were 14 versus when they're
exactly 20, that's what I should have said.
Just the age of that person at the time is very important. Because find me a 13 or 14 year old that hasn't said something completely ridiculous. Like that doesn't exist.
I don't want to be held like to that standard of like what or I don't want people to hold things against me that I said when I was 12 or 13 or even when I was like 18. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I've changed so much in the past 6 months. Like, we're always ever changing. But also TikTok is filled with young kids who've grown up around cancel culture, and they're very quick to be like, you're canceled, you're canceled, you're canceled. But I think eventually that will become a thing of the past. And I think that we will be able to explore different like routes of how to go about handling situations like that.
Right. Right. For sure. you are a model, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm not really so much anymore, but I was for a while.
You were for a while. What is that career like?
Okay. So I went to fashion school. I've always been in fashion. I went to fashion design school. So I basically like majored in homosexuality, minored in dressmaking. I loved fashion. I was always like a weird looking kid. And then sort of in college, I grew to like 6 foot. And I had been scouted once before when I was working at the store opening ceremony. They scouted me and I started doing like all their stuff on their website. They recently closed, which is devastating because opening ceremony was sort of like an institution in New York. Like everyone worked there.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I got asked to go intern at Kenzo in Paris because I was a fashion design student at the people who owned opening ceremony. We're now designing at Kenzo, so I was very lucky to go do that. And when I was there, I couldn't intern for a while because of like visa stuff. So I ended up going to a couple model agencies where 3 of them said no to me, like off the bat. And then the 4th one I went to was like, yeah, sure, but like we'll give you 17 castings today. If you book something, like we'll sign you. And luckily I booked something that day. And then it started from there. However, what I will say, and like a lot of people can like research this and stuff, when I first started modeling in 2012, I was the only openly gay male model to be working. And it was so homophobic. It was horrifying. I got asked to butch up all the time. I got asked to carry around my skateboard, to talk about girls, to spit on the floor, to not shower, to wear these kind of clothes, to wear that kind of clothes, because this idea of masculinity was so ever present. And there was no room for queer people in that space at that time, that I had to conform to like heteronormativity, where I was like I had to be the skinny, dirty skater boy or else I wouldn't work. Luckily, I found cool clients that I started working with and I could be myself. And I also found cool agents that allowed me to do that and allowed me to talk about my queerness and things like that. But I wrote like a big article about it for ID Magazine a while ago, and it sort of like shook up the industry because everyone was like, maybe we are being a little homophobic. And now everyone's fucking gay. Everyone in modeling is gay. And it is so cool. It is, I mean, like, everyone's taking all the jobs that, like, I want to get. But, like, but I'm also old. And I like seeing, like, the new kids do things like that.
But it changed that much in 8 years?
Yeah. Oh, my. It has changed. It's so crazy because I sit there with my agent who's been, like, basically my mom for 8 years. I've had the same agent. And we're always talking to each other being like, can you believe that this is like this now? Like, this is real. Like, we've seen tangible change in these 8 years where it's gone completely opposite, where like now if you're not a slash, if you're not a minority, if you are not marginalized, a lot of companies don't want to work with you. And I think that that's great. However, I do hope that continues on and it's not the tokenization of marginalized communities.
Hmm. Are a lot of models, were they in the closet when it was straight back then, or
it wasn't even that they were in the closet. It just was, they weren't talking about their sexuality. They weren't like in the closet around other people, but like in publicly or like to clients and stuff like that, they didn't talk about their sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, kind of difficult to hide. You know what I mean? Like I had the mannerisms of like a feminine gay man, but I had the looks of like a dirty British skater boy. So it was like a weird mix. But it has been really cool to witness such a massive change in the industry.
Yeah. And now you are you do fashion design. I know I saw you did for Troye Sivan, you designed his outfits for
a few concerts. I style Troye Sivan. That's that's my big client. So I do all of his stuff, starting from his Australia tour where he did these sort of crazy theme looks that I did, to his new EP, and Take Yourself Home. All that stuff I've styled. So I pretty much do all of his creative direction when it comes to what he's wearing.
Wow.
Which has been dope. And I absolutely love Troye. He's one of the funnest people. So easy to work with. We're very similar. Plus, it's getting to dress myself because we're very similar in sizing, except I'm 4 inches taller. But it's I get to put him in what I would wear if I was a gay pop star. So it works out really well.
So you get vicariously kind of living through Troye.
Yeah, it's cool. It's I get to live exactly. I get to live vicariously through him, and he's so willing to hear me out on ideas. And also, Troye always comes with such good ideas that I get to play off of. It really is a good working relationship.
You kind of look like him too.
Interesting. I have been told that before, but I also think that a lot of white, skinny, young twinks look alike. Yeah. Although I'm not so young anymore.
Fair point. Well, where can people find your socials? Like all of your Instagram.
All of my stuff is at Mark Sebastian F.
At Mark Sebastian F. So you were able to secure all of those without, because I know some people get some people have to do underscore this, underscore, and it all.
Maybe, I think Twitter's Mark Sebastian, but I feel like if you type in Mark Sebastian, it'll come up. Just Mark with a C.
Mark with a C. Yeah, that's super important. Do you have any just closing thoughts or anything that you'd like to share with anyone listening, whether it's advice or just a rant about something?
Yeah, you know what? I will say that I feel like there's a lot of people listening who are doing a lot of political content, that it's important every now and again to sit down, to put your phone down, to see if this is emotionally affecting you, and know that you don't have to constantly call everyone out. You know, you don't have to do only political content. It's okay to do other things outside of that. It's okay to not want to have to call out everyone. It's so frustrating, especially on TikTok, for anyone who's watching who's on TikTok, to have to see all that negativity and all that frustrating energy coming from the right side of TikTok, and I mean the conservative side. Mm-hmm. So it's chill to sit down every once in a while and be like, okay, I don't want to deal with that right now. And I think it's important that people realize that, because for a while I was only doing political content and it was killing me. It was making me so anxious and so nervous. And now every once in a while I'll do sort of political content, but not anything like I used to be doing. Also, gay Republicans need to get off TikTok. It's really freaking me out.
Do you know if the guy, I forget what, it might literally just be the gay Republican.
It's the gay Republican. I know exactly who you're talking about. He always wears the exact same shirt and he looks so haunted. I can't even take it.
I've been meaning to make a video just shitting on him, but I don't know. I haven't had the energy to. You know, I don't want to deal with it.
I agree. I just, that, exactly. But that's I feel like with a lot of people, they see videos like that and they're like, I have to deal with this. I have to say something right now. And it's guys, I think we all have come to the understanding that talking to these people is like talking to a brick wall. Only my whole thing with with talking to conservatives is only talk to the ones that listen. And when you find one that will listen, tell them everything. And if you can get them to change even on just one issue, then the next time another conservative talks to that person about that issue and sees the change that they made, they'll start to question their change. And then the next time someone talks to that person and it spreads further and further and further. So if you're just going to talk to a wall, don't do it. But if you're talking to someone who will listen and you feel like you can actually make some change with them, do it. As long as you know what you're talking about and it's not going to stress you out.
Right. Absolutely. Don't kill yourself trying to talk politics. I've been there before. Yeah. Well, thank you, Mark, for coming on. And thank you for talking to me today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you all so much for listening. You are all so beautiful and amazing. Make sure to check us out at www.thealphabetmafia.com. You can read our blogs there. You can support our brand. Get a sticker. Get yourself a sticker. That really helps us. It raises brand awareness. You put it on your water bottle. You put it on your laptop. It becomes more of a common thing seen around town. If you want to be featured on our YouTube show where I answer your DMs and emails regarding, your situation you're in or needing advice, you can email us at info@thealphabetmafia.com. Again, that's info@thealphabetmafia.com. Just put in the headline, LGBTQ plus advice, something like that, and I will try and read it and then use it on the show. Of course, if you need serious help, you can visit the trevorproject.org, or you can give them a call at 1-866-488-7386. If you are in need of serious help, please reach out to those people immediately. They will be more than happy to help in a tremendous way. Thank you all for tuning in, and I hope you have a beautiful morning, evening, whatever it is. Good night.